In my own shire, if I was sad, homely comforters I had. The earth, because my heart was sore, sorrowed for the son she bore, and standing hills, long to remain, shared with their short-lived comrades' pain, and bound for the same bourne as I, on every road I wandered by, trod beside me close and dear the beautiful and death-struck year, whether in the woodland brown I heard the beechnut rustle down, and saw the purple crocus pale flower from the autumn dale, or littering far the fields of May, lady smocks a-bleaching lay, and like a skylit water stood the bluebells of the azured wood. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, there has been a farmers' protest in London this week, in which thousands of farmers turned out to protest against the Labour government's new form of war on the countryside. And in this instance, it is that farms have traditionally been exempt from inheritance tax, because, of course, if you have to pay inheritance tax on a farm, then it's possible that you can't pass it on to your descendants, and so therefore the farm has to be sold. And it used to be that there was no inheritance tax on farms, and now they're saying that if farms are worth over £1 million, and remember this is in assets, then they will have to pay 20% inheritance tax. This could be devastating for the English countryside, and Labour know that, and probably that's why they're doing it. And so in today's discussion, I want to talk about from an evolutionary perspective, the fundamental division that this highlights. This goes much deeper than what's being talked about in the media about, oh, it's just that they don't like farmers or whatever, or they're jealous. This is a fundamental psychological divide between the kind of people that live in the countryside and the kind of Labour-supporting people who live in the towns. Before I do that, would you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube and hit the like button, leave a like, and hit the red button and whatever. And also on my Substack, thejollyheretic.com, where I have in-person interviews, where I have vlogs, where I have all kinds of interesting stuff that I don't put here on YouTube, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. And also remember, I live stream on this at 7 p.m. UK time. But anyway, most importantly, please, please subscribe here on YouTube. It helps me survive if you do that. Okay, back to the video. So, what has happened in London is thousands and thousands of people have come on a very rainy day, by the way, have descended on London from the countryside. Something about Labour seems to evoke this. Last time when Labour got into power, there was a countryside march, and to protest against their inheritance tax plans. It is likely, there are 210,000 functioning farms in the UK, and according to the Farmers' Union, 70,000 people are going to be hit by this. Now, already the cost of, well, because of inflation, the cost of farming has massively gone up. I mean, the cost of fertiliser has gone up by 50% in the last 5 years, which is pushing people out of farming anyway. But this, of course, is going to make things much, much, much worse. Now, we can look into the political dimensions of this. You can imagine that Labour, being people that are Machiavellian and neurotic and therefore like controlling people, they don't particularly like farmers, because farmers are, there's a degree to which farmers are independent. They don't particularly like the possibility that people can grow their own food, because then people can be independent of the state. They don't like that. We can look at that. But I think that what's fascinating about this is the differences it highlights between the kind of people that live in the countryside and the kind of people that live in the towns. And there are a number of studies on this. Basically, it's a life history strategy issue. Remember, we are all on a spectrum from a fast life history strategy, which is that you're an unstable and easy ecology, and so you live fast and die young and pass on your genes as quickly as possible, but you're adapted to everywhere. And a slow life history strategy, which is that the carrying capacity for the species is reached because it's harsh yet stable, and therefore you start competing with each other, and you do that by becoming increasingly adapted to the environment, by becoming increasingly pro-social and subdividing into groups that cooperate with each other, and investing more in nurture over just sex. Now, if you look at the studies on the kinds of people that migrate, the kinds of people of every generation that move from the countryside to the towns, those people are low in agreeableness, i.e. they, why would that be? Well, they're not particularly strongly bonded to their families, they're not particularly strongly bonded to their friends, they're not particularly strongly bonded to their place, and they quite like risk and things like that, and so they move from the countryside to the town in pursuit of wealth, basically. They're materialistic, they're low in agreeableness. They're high in neuroticism. Now, on the one hand, that means that you're anxious and you don't like change. That's an element of neuroticism, but also a big part of neuroticism is just instability, is just feeling negative feelings, things like anger and resentment and things like that. This would imply, you know, you think you're a bit too good for the countryside and so you want to leave and go and live in the cities and make money. You're materialistic. If you're high in neuroticism, you like control, you like power, you're probably perhaps your high narcissistic traits, you're materialistic, you want to leave and make a mark and go, you know, go and live in the towns. And you're high in intelligence. Why? Because intelligent people are better able to accrue the resources to get out of the countryside. Intelligent people are better, like, more likely to be educated, and that will allow them to get out of the countryside. Intelligent people are more future-oriented, so they'll plan whatever to get out of the countryside. So these are the groups every generation that leave the countryside. Basically, psychopathic, intelligent people. Fast life history strategy, intelligent people. Who stays in the countryside? People who have relatively low intelligence, obviously, will stay in the countryside. That's the stereotype, and it's true. But it will also be slow life history strategists. A slow life history strategist has a strong attachment to place. He's evolved to a specific place. He creates very, very strong social bonds with other people, and so he wouldn't abandon them. You know, he wouldn't be particularly ambitious, because being ambitious is associated with neuroticism. If you're neurotic and the world's a frightening and dangerous place and you want to get power over other people and you want to get resources for yourself to protect yourself against this dangerous, evil place. So what you have then is a fundamental difference between people who are basically psychopaths, high-functioning psychopaths who are from nowhere and who will go anywhere, like mosquitoes or something, that aren't particularly adapted to any particular ecology. And then those that are very strongly adapted to a particular ecology, to a particular place. And those people will have a sense of history, a sense of pride in their ancestors, a sense of the eternal, a sense of not wanting change. Such people will be highly conservative and they won't like change at all. They will see change as very threatening. Whereas people that leave, well, they don't care about that. They like change because they hate power and they like destroying that which is symbolic of tradition. And so it's a fundamentally different, the ancestors, respect for the ancestors, all of these based ideas that are consistent with a slow life history strategy you would expect to be preserved in the countryside. And each generation, the countryside would vomit up its highly intelligent psychopaths into the swirl of the cities. And then once they get to the cities, and there's good studies on this as well, then they'll become, their life history strategy becomes even more elevated towards a fast life history strategy, because they're surrounded by strangers, which will make them stressed and mentally unstable and more fast life history strategic. They're in a difficult environment where they're too close with other people and whatever, and it's stressful. So this will again elevate a sense of individuality, and so all of these, and there's more illness there. So all of these things will elevate fast life history strategy ecology. That's the first thing. The second thing that keeps people in the countryside and makes people even from the cities want to move there is it is an evolutionary match. Now, this is something that these people in the cities don't understand at all. They are focused on money. They are focused on money and power and status. They are psychopaths and narcissists and Machiavellians underpinned by neuroticism and low agreeableness, as I said. So they are focused on status for themselves. They are focused on money. That's what they think is important. Their attitude towards the farmers is, well, we'll impose this inheritance tax. And, well, so what? I mean, for Christ's sake, you're asset rich. you've got this farm that's worth a fortune. If you turned this over to a developer, you could be unbelievably wealthy. If you turned this over to a foreigner who could build a mega farm, you'd be unbelievably wealthy. If you allowed us to plaster bloody solar panels all over it, you could be unbelievably wealthy. Why the hell would you not want to sell your farm? I'd come and live in the city in a nice big house rather than be asset rich, but only be able to pay yourself a salary of about 20 grand a year and do this awful job where you have to get up early in the morning and go to bed late at night and you can't have any days off. Why would you do that? But they fundamentally don't understand. Happiness is about more than money. Happiness is about, to a significant degree, being in an evolutionary match. And that's why people in the countryside are happier, because they are in an evolutionary match. Our evolutionary match as Northern Europeans is to be farmers. It's to live in the countryside and be farmers, to be close to nature, to be close to animals and to farm them. That is what we are evolved to do. And that is when we are at our happiest, when we are doing things like that. And also when we are living in the related small village community, when there is some kind of collective worship of a moral god, i.e. the church, at the centre of that community. This may seem like a romantic stereotype. Well, it is. It's a romantic stereotype for a reason, and it is that it is our evolutionary match, which the Industrial Revolution ripped us away from, and has increasingly rendered us unhappy, increasingly rendered us depressed, increasingly rendered us dysphoric, increasingly rendered us so materialistic we don't want children, increasingly just sent us mad and meant that our basic instincts, such as the instincts to have children, things like that, or be ethnocentric or believe in God, don't hit in. In the countryside, you are in your evolutionary match. So they want to keep it as a farm and they want to keep the countryside going because these people want to be in their evolutionary match and they understand that. The next thing is that the left have no understanding of beauty. In fact, the left, which relates to that we are evolved to be surrounded by that which we naturally regard as beautiful. And if we are, then we will be happier because beauty inspires us and beauty brings us towards the transcendent and beauty makes us happy. And we regard nature as beautiful because it is an evolutionary match and makes us feel good to be in nature. And we regard the kind of old buildings there as beautiful because they were deliberately designed symmetrically and so forth to inspire us with a sense of the divine. Move into the cities and you get ugliness. Now, you could argue that the left, in a sense, they almost like ugliness because beauty is associated with tradition. And if you're high in neuroticism and resentment and you hate tradition, you hate anything symbolic of tradition, you want to tear it down. And the same goes for the countryside. You want to uglify it. You want to make it disgusting. You're attracted to that which is disgusting. You're horrified by the countryside. That which is disgusting is good because that which is disgusting is making people dysphoric so you can dominate them better. And that which is disgusting is good because it's tearing down tradition and you resent tradition because tradition involves power and it's power that you don't have. So this is a fundamental difference. They don't want to make the countryside disgusting financially efficiently having mega farms and with massive greenhouses and whatever else it would be. They want to make it nice. They also know, and this is important, because they're higher in ethnocentrism, because they're more based and they're more in touch with their instincts, that it would be sold to foreign farmers. And they don't want that. The countryside is the last holdout of the real England. Of course, they're trying to interfere with this and have zones where you can't walk dogs in order to encourage, Muslims, because they don't like, because dogs are haram, to come to the countryside. But, that's not what they want. So you're dealing with fundamentally different people. And the final reason that they don't like the countryside is because, as I mentioned earlier, there's an independence to being a rural person. There's a lack of control. If you're a person that is producing the food, producing your own food, then you are not controlled by the state. Even if you're gardening, you're not controlled by the state. And I've seen articles in The Guardian arguing that gardening is racist, that growing your own food in your garden can be considered racist. So they don't like that. They're neurotic, they're mental, they want to control everybody. And that includes the idea, therefore, that you could do things independent of their dominance, independent of the state, including growing food, is absolutely horrific. And perhaps another element of it is just almost a loathing of the fact that the farmer has a degree of control over them, because we do kind of need farmers. We need the food. We love the meat. We hate the blood, in the words of Show of Hands, but we love the meat and we need the food. And therefore, there's a degree to which that they will always have the whip hand, and that Labour don't like that, and Labour resent them and hate them. But I think that that's what this highlights more than what's being said, this fundamental difference in genetically underpinned psychology between people that live in the countryside and people that live in the towns, and particularly in metropolises like London, where they're a fundamentally different kind of human being, and they are not going to get on, and they're not going to see eye to eye. Now, I apologise for the way in which I am talking. For the first time in 2 years, I seem to have contracted some kind of contagion. I thought it might be malaria. I had most of the symptoms, but I was reassured that there hasn't been malaria in Finland for hundreds of years, so it's probably not that. But goodness knows. Anyway, I hope this is a bit of interest, and I will see you soon, and goodbye!
Are you ready for the future of the West?